Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion live weekly training sessions. It's been a minute. Classic dad joke. I haven't seen all of you since last year, but it's been a nice break. It's been some nice time off on my side. And if you're tuning in live, welcome on LinkedIn, on Facebook, maybe on YouTube. If you joined part of the Zoom webinar itself, so glad that you're here. Love when people register, sign up, and then are a part of this. If you have questions, sales-related questions, mindset, challenges you're facing, please feel free to put them in the chat. If you're on one of the live streams out there, I will do my best to see those. Best way to chat with me though and have your questions answered, raise your hand, is through Zoom. If you haven't registered for that, you can go to jasoncutter.com and then there is a button on there for the weekly training session so you can get registered and get all the updates and get all the reminders for this. So what is this training session? If you're new, if you're tuning in for the first time, so this is my focus to help people close more deals, make more money using authentic persuasion as a framework, not a end-all be-all, not the only way to close deals, not the only thing to follow as far as a way to sell and be effective, but more so as a framework, as a guide, as a mindset, as some tools, especially because what I've found for people who kind of ended up in sales like myself or were raised a certain way or have experiences in the world with people who sell and have sold to them is that a lot of people end up being order takers. And that's a disservice to themselves, a disservice to their clients, to the world, to their prospects. They could be moving forward into being customers. But the order taker is typically someone who, it's not a derogatory term, as I say all the time, it's more of a state of selling effectiveness, a state of condition for right now. It's somebody who is usually using rapport. They care about people. They care about people so much, they don't want to be gross. They don't want to push people in a way that they feel pushed when they're a customer. They don't want to do the kind of things that feel like manipulation and tricks and all of that stuff in order to close deals. And so they default to more order taking, more passive instead of active in the sales process. And I want to change that for everybody. One of my biggest focuses is on empowering and encouraging over a million authentic persuaders in the world. If we just think of those terms, which is different than a lot of people think it could, it takes to be successful in sales. If we think of those terms alone, imagine over a million authentic persuaders selling to people in the world and what consumers, what all of us would start to expect from a salesperson, from somebody who, whether it's business to business, business to consumer, somebody who we need help from, we need guidance from, and you would expect something different and tolerate something different and want something different and want what we all want, which is some level of guidance, some level of support and help, you know, along the way. So that's the big thing. That's why I do this. That's why I focus on this. Now, if you're new to this, welcome. This is technically session number 17. It is January 21st, 2022. If you're a longtime follower, whether you're watching this live now
or you catch the replays on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. I've done 16 sessions. I did those last year. And each week when I was available, when I did these streams, I was going through a basic framework from my book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, as well as adding to it what I have found even since I published the book, what more detail I can give, what things I'm seeing in the real world as far as applications where people are taking the concepts from the book and then putting them into use. And then what are those lessons learned to help other people as well? And again, my goal is to help everyone just close more deals, make more money, and do it in a way that feels good to you and generates an amazing client experience, right? An amazing sales experience that then leads to a client who wants to be a customer for a long time, who appreciates the experience that they had throughout the buying process, and then feels like they got what they were promised and what they were sold, right? Not missing things that they were told that isn't included, not finding out some catches or some limitations that they weren't discussed, but actually knowing that if I want this, if this is what I'm buying, this is what I actually got, and hopefully more. Hopefully there's some surprises. Unfortunately, for a lot of classic salespeople, what they do is overpromise, and then the back end is usually left to with under delivery, or they ignore the downsides or the trade-offs, which any product or service has. Everything has a trade-off. There is no 100% perfect, 100% positive product or service. There's always a trade-off. Now, it might be time, it might be money, it might be quality, but there's always a trade-off. If you're in sales, don't be afraid of focusing and mentioning those trade-offs at some point in your conversation so you can set the right expectation. Now, here's what I want to do today. So this is a special time in the year where it's the beginning of the year. It's kickoff mode. It's, you know, warming back up. We're now, 3 weeks into the year. So most of you watching this now, if you're watching it today, means that you have already gotten into the full swing of your sales year, right? You've already gone into it. You've kicked it off. And so what I want to do is I want to recap some highlights from the first 16. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail. You can catch all of those, again, in the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast stream. You can also find them on my YouTube channel. If you just search Jason Cutter, find the YouTube channel. They are all put together there. So you can catch all of those if you want to see the video replays of them. And if you want, you can also go to coaching.jasoncutter.com where there is a compilation there of all of those programs or all of those sessions. So in the first 16 sessions that I did, just as a recap, which I think it's always good, especially this time of year, is reflect back, look at what you did last year, what worked, what didn't work, what can you put in place this year, especially for sales. And so the big thing is that I started with talking about how you can make yourself into a sales professional, what that actually means. A lot of people who fall into the patterns like order takers, like I did, think that there's the natural born salesperson, right? The as you hear, the can sell ice to somebody in the snow, right? Which is terrible, right? They can sell sand in the desert. It's like, why would you do that? That is terrible. And why would you need to do that? And so a lot of people think, okay, so you have to be a natural born salesperson to be effective in sales, which isn't true. And I went through 5 sales success traits that I have found every person who's successful in sales has those. And I am living proof of the fact that you can also develop those. Right? One of those is curiosity. For me, as a kid, I was curious about a lot of things. People was not one of them. I was curious about dinosaurs, and then I went into a shark phase and curious about that and science and the world and all things like that, but not people. And it wasn't until later on in life when I realized, hey, I am pretty good with people. I do actually care about people, and people do actually like me in return. And I realized, you know, what's amazing is to be curious about people, ask questions, want to know what makes people tick, want to know what makes the world tick, right? And what is happening. And so I feel like you can develop those and work on those and improve those. And just so you know, because they're so important, I don't want to go into a ton of details and recap because you can check out those episodes, but those five sales success traits are openness, curiosity, creativity, persistence, and authenticity. And you can work on all those. You can work to be more and more persistent. You can work to be more and more creative. Those are super important. So check out that episode, the session that I did on that. Now, when you have those five traits in place and you're developing those, then that will lead to you moving towards being a sales professional. The key is also at the intersection of focusing on your strengths. What are your strengths? How does your mind work? What do you think? How do you act? How do you interact with people? And where are those strengths relative to what works in sales? Myself, I am naturally an analytical person. Reports, data, stats, spreadsheets, you know, the actual proof that something is what it is, right? So I want to see the evidence, the proof, the facts, and then make a decision. Now, when I started my sales role, I thought everyone was that way. So I thought everyone wanted those things. And I realized that turned off a lot of people because it put them in analysis paralysis. And I lost a lot of business that way because I basically freaked people out with too many choices and too much data and too many stats. And so I realized that's not how everyone thinks. And there's a time for those things in the sales process. And there's a time when you don't want to go down that path because you're going to go down a rabbit hole and you're going to freak people out. And fundamentally, a confused mind never buys. And when you give somebody too many options, kind of like the Cheesecake Factory menu, then it's so hard to make a decision and you will lose people. And so you've got to figure out what are your strengths, but don't be afraid of using that. Again, a lot of people that I coach and train and see think that you have to be extrovert and charismatic and a storyteller and all about like schmoozing and or happy hours and or this or that to be effective in sales. And fundamentally, that's just not true. You've got to be you. Obviously, that's why it's selling with authentic persuasion, because the first key to this is you and your authenticity and what's true for you. If you're not an extrovert, if you're not overly like outgoing, charismatic, you don't care about certain things, if you try to do those things or pretend and act like that, it might work in small bits, but it's not going to be sustainable. You're not going to be able to carry that on in the conversations long-term. It's just not going to work. You're going to probably burn yourself out. And so the key is make sure that you focus on your strengths, whatever those are, and then leverage those in a way that's effective in sales, right? Not just, again, like I said, the cautionary tale with my analytical side and the data in the spreadsheets. You want to know what your strengths are, and then you want to make sure that that works while being mindful that everybody is different. One of the fundamental things, and I talked about this before, is that everybody is different, but people, not just salespeople, but most people, most of us, our default mode is to think that everyone sees the world the way that we do, right? That everyone thinks and sees and wants the same things as a customer in the world. And everybody is different. Everybody sees things different. And so you've got to remember that. So it's all about them. It's not about you. And the sooner you can switch out of that autopilot mode and put yourself in the mind, not just the shoes, but in the mind of the other person and what they want or need to feel safe and move forward, the sooner you're going to win. Next topic that I covered is really important. And this one shifts a lot of people. It helps them kind of break away from that order taker mode into a sales professional, not just a salesperson who's pushy and uses manipulation, but a sales professional is the fact that your job is to be a leader of the prospect. Now, a lot of times when I say leader and leadership, people think, okay, well, you're talking about my leader, right? Like my manager, my team lead, my supervisor, my boss, right? Yes, they're in a leadership role with you, towards you. But what's also true is when it's done in the right mindset with the right process and the right approach, the proper approach, I will say, is that you're also the leader of the prospect, right? They're looking to you for guidance. They're looking to you for wisdom. They want help. And you are leading them somewhere. Now, a lot of people in sales are leading them down the wrong path, or leading down a path that only serves the salesperson, or leading them nowhere. And that's the order taker mode. And they are not really leading. They're not really stepping into it. And you have two people, the salesperson and the prospective client, that are basically having a conversation. And the salesperson is hoping the prospect knows which way to go on this trip up the mountain, because the salesperson isn't taking charge, isn't saying, I am the leader, let's go. I have a plan, I have a mission, I know what the destination looks like, follow me, I will get us there. And so that's what you want to remember. All of the traits, all of the things that you think of, all of the things that you may have heard or read or seen about what makes a leader great, or what inspires other people, or what inspires you to follow someone who is in a leadership role, those are all the same things that you can apply in your sales conversations. That's what your prospect is looking for. I covered it a lot in those 16 sessions, especially towards the end. But keep in mind, your prospects are looking for a guide. They are looking for help. They are looking for someone to help them get up the mountain and to do it safely. And one of the things that we covered is the authentic persuasion pathway. And that is your framework, because fundamentally, there's one thing that all of your prospects are afraid of. There's one thing universal that all of them are afraid of, and that is change. If they weren't afraid of change, they would already be a customer, or they would be an easy conversation turning into a customer or a client as quickly as possible. But fundamentally, if they're not, it means they're afraid of change, which means they're in their comfort zone. The authentic persuasion pathway that I outlined and went through, the five steps, that is the path to get people from where they are in the center of that comfort zone to the outside, to the safely making a change and doing that. Again, your job is to guide them. Where a lot of people in sales go wrong or are misguided is that they default to thinking that their job is to be the hero, right? A lot of times, and I don't have any evidence or proof, and I haven't looked at it a lot, but I feel like a lot of people who get into sales, they're used to selling. They're used to talking their way out of situations, into situations. They're used to persuading people, getting people to take action, getting people to buy from them, getting people to do anything, you know, relative to their life up to that moment in sales. And they are used to being the hero. We all are, right? We all see ourselves as the hero of our story. When we're at the grocery store, or we're driving around, or whatever we're doing, we see ourselves as the center of the universe. We see us as the center of our own universe, which is fair, right? It's all about us in our mind. If we are going to survive and we are going to grow and we are going to thrive in this world, it's really all about us. And that's what the primal part of our brain is always thinking about. Now, the challenge comes is that if I think I'm the hero and you think you're the hero, when we have a conversation, there, that's where the rub is, right? And you see that a lot. You could extend that to politics. You could extend it to religion. You could say business, relationships, anything like that, where two people think they're the heroes. Two people think they're right. Two people think they're on the right mission. And if you're not with them, then you're wrong. The problem is your prospects also feel that way. They also see themselves as the hero, because we all do. That's our default mode. So the problem is when you come at them in hero mode, when you're a salesperson working for a company and we have the best solution and we're going to save you, we're going to save everybody, we're going to make everything amazing, we're going to help everybody, then you're coming across as the hero. And that's not how it works. And I did an episode on that, a session on that. Make sure to check that one out, because what happens, I'll give you the cliff notes of it, is that if you try to be the hero and they think they're the hero, they will put you in one of two categories that will either be the sidekick or you'll be the villain. And that's usually where people default to. That's where they end up in the prospect's mind. And of course, that either makes your sales process and your selling effectiveness really hard, harder than it needs to be, or it's the death of that sale, of that conversation. And it's really, then I see a lot of people in sales just playing the numbers game, where because they can't stop how they are selling and they don't think about the other person at scale, then what they're doing is just making as many calls, phone calls, sending as many emails, sending as many LinkedIn chats, LinkedIn connection requests, knocking on doors until they find somebody who doesn't fully need to be the hero and they're okay with the salesperson being the hero. And then there's just a numbers game, right? And we all have that. I will tell you, thinking about the LinkedIn connection requests that I get and the LinkedIn messages that I get from new connections, where they're telling me how amazing they are and how much they can do for me, how many leads they could help me generate and appointments they could help me generate. They want to be the hero. They are literally coming across as the hero and it's misguided. They don't know if that's what I need. And then ultimately it just feels gross, right? And it makes us all, like the people I talk to, respond in a certain way where you just want to block that person. You want to report them to LinkedIn. You just want to make it stop because it's a very, very bad approach. And you see that in sales too, but again, it's a numbers game, right? So if they send out X number of connection requests or somebody makes X number of calls per day, some point they will find somebody who's okay with that sales process. Does that make it right? No. Does that make it effective? No. Does that lead to a scorched earth approach in their wake that could damage their reputation, the business's reputation, and or just sales in general and give it a bad taste? Absolutely, yes. I firmly believe that's some of what why all of us as consumers, as customers, as buyers in the world, we do not necessarily enjoy the thought of dealing with salespeople in most of our time. So, all right. So there's my recap. Not super short, but if you watch the shows, if you listen to any of my stuff, you know that I like to give an expanded recap, expanded explanations. I really just want to help everybody sell more. So let's shift into now, right? The title of this session is Kicking Off Your New Year. Part of that, even though we're 3 weeks in, part of that is assessing, like I said, what you did last year, what worked, what was effective for you. Also spending some time, if you haven't already, looking back and going, okay, what didn't work? What do I know now that I didn't know then that you can see, okay, this is what I could have been doing, or this would have worked more, would have been more effective. I think that's always important to be continuing to grow yourself, to be figuring out new ways to be more effective, to figure out more ways to sell to different people in different ways, such that your effective as a sales professional, moving to that. Now, some of you might be watching this and you might not be in sales for very long. Maybe it's only been a few months. Maybe it's been a year, a few years. Maybe you decided to get into sales and then it was in the middle of a pandemic. So it just made it a little bit different of a challenge. Just understand the time that it takes to get to be a professional, to mostly master something, is going to take effort and it's going to take time, and not just time. It's not just about I'm going to be in sales for this many of years and then I'll just be better, but you have to have intentional effort and intentional focus during that time, right? It's not just practice. They say practice makes perfect, but it doesn't, right? Like if you practice golf and you practice wrong, right? Or in a way that doesn't work, like I could go to a driving range right now and hit 500 balls, and I could practice a very bad swing that's not effective, and I could shank 500 balls. That doesn't mean I'm working towards being perfect, right? Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Regular practice, who knows? Sometimes that reinforces worse habits and makes things harder and harder to change down the road. So with this, with sales, also keep that in mind, right? It's not just about, okay, if I just do my 100, 200 calls a day, if I have this many conversations, if I set this many appointments, if I have this many demos, if I make this many deals, I'll just get better over time. That's not necessarily true. So make sure you're just always growing. You're always working. That's why number one on my 5 6 sales success traits is openness. You want to be open to feedback, open to new ideas, open to learning. Second one is curiosity. And that's all about being curious about what you're doing, what other people are doing. How do you get better? You combine those two together. And that usually sends most people on a really good path with sales. Notice that number four on that list was persistent. A lot of people think, oh, you just have to be really persistent to be effective in sales. Just grind it out, right? Like make your calls. It's a numbers game, right? But that's not the right order in my experience, because if you're really persistent, but not open and not curious, then you're going to be a closed-minded, know-it-all, pushy salesperson, right? Maybe even a pushy asshole, because you're going to be just persistent and persistent and persistent, but not open to feedback, not open to new ideas, not open to new scripts, not curious about people, not curious about your customers, right? Not asking them a single question because you literally don't care what they have to say because you're just persistent. And so always make sure you're focusing on those in that order, because that will help you get to where you want to go and continue to grow. And it's a long game. And here's the thing, whether you're in your sales role right now and you think, I'm going to be there for 3 months, I'll be there for 6 months, I don't know if I like doing this, maybe I'm going to do this for a year, and then after a year, I want to get into a leadership role, or I'm going to change industries, or I'm going to go back to school, whatever, right? Like I am a great example of life taking lots of twists and turns. And you never know where it's going to go, and you can plan all you want, but that doesn't mean anything. Here's the fundamental thing that's very, very true is, and depending on how far you want to take this, everything in life is sales. So everything is about persuasion and sales, right? You want your kids to do something, some level of persuasion, leadership, trust, and getting them to agree to do something, clean their room, go to bed, do their homework. There's some level of that. You're in a relationship, at work, even if you're not in sales, but you want your manager to agree with your idea, you want your manager to like your initiatives, you have a team of people, you're not the boss, but you want them to agree with your ideas and move things forward or support you and help you. Everything in life is sales. So even if you're not sure how long you're going to be in sales, the more you can work on these things, the more you can work on even those five traits, the more effective you'll be. So the other thing that's interesting about this time of year that is always important is looking at the goals. What are your goals? And again, keeping in mind, some of you might be in higher level, you know, longer sale enterprise, B2B, where you're like, all right, here's my goals for the year. Here's my projections. Here's what I'm going to do, you know, what I need to do. Some of you might be in a short sales cycle, B2C, one call close, and you're like, I don't even know what I want to do this year. I don't even know if I'll still be in this industry. Fundamentally, you do know, no matter what, how much money you want to make, right? Where do you want to be? How much do you want to make this year? And then work backwards from there. I did a bunch of things about the vision board and putting that together. I'm actually launching a vision board challenge series to help people create vision boards and really make that a tool to help you support yourself in your sales career, right? Because you can rely on other people to motivate you with the carrot or the stick. Fundamentally, it's all about you. You've got to motivate you. You've got to pick yourself up. It's always good to have a coach, a mentor, a guide, someone holding you accountable. But more times than not, it's going to be up to you, right? You're the one that's going to pick up the phone and make that next call, just like it's you that's going to get to the gym or make a different choice or do something that you want to do on a regular basis. That's all you. So one of the big things is looking at this year. What are your goals? Where do you want to be? How much money do you want to make? And then work backwards. It's fundamentally so important to break it down into the smallest action steps that you can take. Here's the fundamental thing. And here's the challenge a lot of people get into is that they forget that you can't control results. You can only control actions and activities. Let me say that again. You cannot control results. You can only control actions and activities. Let me give you an example that's not from sales. So let's talk about health, weight loss. This time of year, people set New Year's resolutions. They probably set them 3 weeks ago. Most of them historically, statistically have not followed through. They're not going to make it to February without abandoning that New Year's resolution for that health goal, right? Typically, that's because someone's going from a less healthy lifestyle and then immediately thinking they can turn a switch and say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat carbs. I'm not going to drink. And then it's tough to sustain that without a significant reason why. So one of the things though, and this is where it causes challenge for people, is they're expecting a result, right? If I go to the gym 6 days a week, if I cut out sugar, if I cut out carbs, if I stop drinking, then I will lose weight. I want to lose 5 pounds a week, right? Or I want to lose 10 pounds a month or 10 pounds in this first month or whatever somebody's number is. But here's the challenge, is you can't control that. Short of like losing an arm or a leg, you can't control an exact amount of weight that you're going to lose. And you can try some crazy fad diet. You can try like not eating and fasting and then losing it that way. But there's no guarantee that's going to work either, because everyone's going to have a different reaction. Their body is going to react different. Their metabolism is different. What they need, what they're going to retain, what they're not going to retain, everybody's different. You could go to the gym 6 days a week, not eat carbs, not eat sugar, not drink, and then literally not lose much weight. And you could do that for a month and not lose your 10 pounds. Maybe you lose 8. Sometimes people are okay with that. Sometimes people aren't. It just depends on what you're focused on. But fundamentally, you cannot control the results. All you can do is control what you do, your activities, your actions, right? You can control how much you go to the gym or work out or go for a walk or go for a run, how much effort you put in. Going to the gym is one thing, right? And this applies to sales as well. Going to the gym is one thing. Hey, I did 45 minutes at the gym, but were you hanging out, chatting with people, playing on your phone while like slowly riding the exercise bike? Or were you really pushing yourself and tracking things and using an app to see how much you were doing as far as a workout goes, and then just really trying to improve each time? Or are you just putting in the time? Were you just putting in the effort? Were you just saying like, yeah, I did 45 minutes at the gym. I don't know why. And I've seen those people where they're at the gym, they're just hanging out. They're chatting with other people. They're kind of, it looks like they're half-assing their workout and the exercises they're doing day in and day out, not just one time, but like I see people in there where it's more social hour, but they want credit for being there for 45 minutes or for working out. Again, I see that in sales a lot too, where people are like, yeah, but I worked 8 hours today. I don't know why I'm not closing any deals. It's like, but what did you do? How often did you get up and walk around, talk to other people in other desks or get something to drink or go to the bathroom or run to Starbucks? Like how much effort did you actually put in? Not just seat time. And so that's the thing. We're talking about, you know, health, weight loss translates into sales and any activity in your life is you can't control results, only control actions, activities, and the effort you put in. So you can set your goal, what you want for this year. How much money do you want to make? Next step, figure out how many deals will that mean? How much will you have to close? Whether it's you have a base salary, commission, bonuses, whatever that looks like, figure that out. Work backwards. This year, I have to close this many deals. All right. Now, figure out how long it takes for you to close those sales, right? How long does a typical sale take you on average? What's the long? What's the short? What's the average? And then figure out, okay, so based on that, how many calls, how many emails, how many meetings, how many doors do I have to knock on? What is it that I have to do to achieve a sale? And then figure out, obviously, the total. And then depending on where you're at, if you have momentum, if you have a pipeline, that's great. Then figure out, okay, what do I have to do each week? What do I have to do each week? And then what do I have to do each day? Now, here's where a lot of people will say, just do this activity day in and day out. Maybe you work it backwards and you realize, okay, I've got to make 50 calls a day, right? Or I've got to do 50 calls a day or 5 appointments or 50 calls and 5 appointments, 3 demos, whatever that magic number is for you in the combination of activities. Because remember, it's not just about doing demos or having sales conversations. You have to do the activities. You have to plant the seeds leading up to it. A lot of people just focus, hey, I got some appointments. That's great. And then they stop the prospecting. And then they hit another drought, right? They hit another slow time after a few weeks, after a few months. So you've got to be doing both all the time. You've got to be planting seeds, harvesting, planting seeds, harvesting. If you only plant seeds and then you only harvest, you're going to starve, right? You're going to have this feast or famine mode and it doesn't work. So make sure you're planting seeds, harvesting, same time, rotating crops, just going through it. Just think of what you would have done as a prehistoric human alive not too long ago in order to survive and eat every day, right? You're hunting, you're farming. What can I go out there and hunt? What can I find today? Planting seeds over here, working on my pipeline, asking for referrals, whatever that looks like, you've got to figure that out. And then that's your actions and activities. Back to where I see people get challenged, where I see people mentally struggle. I won't say get in trouble, but they struggle is they look at that number and they go, okay, I got to do this every day, right? 50 calls, 3 appointments, 25 emails, whatever that magic number is, whatever that formula is for them. I got to do that day in and day out. Then what happens is they have a bad day, or they have a day where they have a lot of appointments and they can't get to the prospecting, or they have no appointments and they're only prospecting and it feels like they lost in that game. One of the biggest things I would recommend for anybody with any length sales cycle, with anything going on, is to set your goal every day, but then also look at it over a week. To look at it and play more of a weekly game instead of a daily game, because you can't control each day. Sometimes, again, you're going to have a lot of appointments. Sometimes you're going to have none. And so you want to balance it out, because what you don't want to do, sales is already hard enough as it is you don't want to get to the end of the day and go, oh man, I failed because I didn't get X, Y, and Z done, right? I didn't do enough of X, Y, and Z. But did you cover other categories? Was it a good day overall? When you look at it over the week, you go, okay, I did that. Right? I balanced it out. I made these calls. I did these things. I had these appointments. Same thing with the gym and the working out, right? Maybe you didn't go to the gym every single day, but when you look back on the week, did you go to the gym some days, go for walks, balance it out? Like there's the structured rigid mode, which a lot of people would advise you to do no matter what, do this every single day. And then there's this thing called life, and life happens. Right? And it's a balance mentally, especially until you get the habit and the routine and the discipline to do the things you need to do, with the flexibility of understanding you're playing a long game. So how do you do them in the week? Not necessarily in the day, not necessarily in the hour, because things will come up. Client says, hey, you know, prospective client says, hey, can we meet? Can we talk? Right? I had one of those earlier today where someone's like, hey, can we talk today? And I was like, yeah, of course, right? I want to talk to you. I want to see how I can help you. And I'm going to shift some things around because it's the priorities, right? And that's what's important. So make sure you focus on those weekly numbers, right? Put in the daily activities, playing the weekly game, and trusting that if you do that enough. And again, remember, you can't control results. You can't control that if you make 100 calls today, that you will close X number of deals tomorrow, right? Or this week, or even this month. You can't, because you can't control how many people you're going to actually talk to, because you don't know how many times they're going to pick up. You might leave 100 voicemails, and you don't know how many people are going to be ready at this moment. And so all you can do is your activities, your actions, work on it, get better and better each day, so that when you do have those conversations and those opportunities come up, that you make the most of them and you're on your game, right? Because that's the other part, is you have to be ready. And fundamentally, remember this, and this is where I see a lot of people get down on themselves. Again, we could talk about the health example, which most people can relate to, whether you have the goal to be healthy, or you are healthy, or you've tried to be healthy. I think everyone's been there at some point in their life where they can relate to this. And then if you're in sales, you know what this is like too, where you have those days where just nothing is going right. You tried making some calls. You made those 100 calls and you got 100 voicemails, right? Literally no one answered. You sent emails. You sent more than your normal amount of emails and literally no one's responding, right? Maybe you had an appointment and they didn't show. Maybe you had another appointment and they didn't buy from you and they need to talk to their spouse, right? Or their Uncle Bob, who seems to always know everything about everything. And so people get down on themselves. Again, sales is a hard game. Sales is hard no matter what. Even if you're amazing, it's still hard because you're still missing opportunities that have presented themselves. Here's the thing, and this, I learned this, I heard this from a coworker buddy of mine back when I used to deploy. And, you know, I beat myself up about going to the gym and not doing a good workout or not feeling great and kind of like getting there and doing like 10, 15 minutes and then heading out and just feeling like it's bad. Here's the thing that stuck with me forever. The gym, business, work, everything is a bad day in the gym is better than no day in the gym. Again, I'll repeat it. A bad day in the gym is better than no day in the gym. showing up and going to the gym and just not feeling good. I'm not talking about being sick and like exposing people to things, but just being tired, fatigued, just being out of it, going, even if you did 10, 15 minutes instead of your normal 45 or 30 or hour, whatever it is, a bad day in the gym is better than no day in the gym. Not feeling strong that day and not really like lifting very, very much in the weight category, still better than not going at all. You put in the effort. Everything helps. It all compounds. That's the part I'm talking about. So you can control your actions and activities, but you can't control results. In your sales role, remember, a bad day in sales is better than no day in sales. Making those 100 calls and leaving 100 voicemails, sending emails and not getting responses, having appointments that don't show, having appointments that do show, but they don't close today, that on the scoreboard might look like a bad day in sales, but a bad day in sales is better than no day in sales. Just put in that effort and control what you can control. And do it enough and it will get there. It's like farming. You cannot control how many seeds you plant will turn into the crops that you need, but you can plant a lot of seeds and then you can nurture them and then you can protect them and then you can help them grow as much as possible, which is going to be your sales pipeline. All you can do is control what you can control, which is the activities, but you don't know what the results are going to be. It's either going to turn out great or it's not. And all you can do is put in enough effort to ensure that it's going to be great. What I see a lot of salespeople do is they're not putting in enough effort. They're putting in some effort and just assuming they're going to get there. And so put in lots of effort. Now, hopefully that helps. Hopefully that sets you on a good path for this year. One last thing I want to talk about, because this came up recently, and I think this is so important, and I'm excited for this podcast to actually come out because we do talk about it. And I spoke with a gentleman, his name is Lef Bonney, and he is a professor of sales at Florida State University's program, which is fascinating. Listen to the podcast to hear, you know, me nerd out and get excited about the fact that people, colleges have professional sales programs and degrees that you can get to help people with their selling effectiveness and how that actually works well. Because you might think, oh, sales is just a skill that you have. Like, why would you take courses on it? He and I talk about it. But one of the biggest things, and I want to give you this, even if you don't check out that podcast, is there's a lot of people, and this is what his research showed, is that a lot of people on the buyer side, right? Now, they're talking to mostly B2B buyers, enterprise buyers, but this always, always, always applies to all buyers, to all of us as consumers. And the reason why is no matter what, it's not B2B, it's not B2C, it's H to H. Even if you're selling enterprise level software, you're trying to sell to IBM, it's still a human. You're dealing with a human who's scared, confused, worried. They have their fears. They have their challenges. They have their goals, their hopes, their ideas of what they want, their preconceived notions, their, you know, the way they see the world. It doesn't matter. It's human to human. But Lef and FSU, their research, when they surveyed buyers, right, the people at companies who are buying, is they found that most of them are getting pitched the same things, the same sales process over and over again. There's only so many out there, like the big, let's say the big ones, the big dogs in there. And what happens is these buyers who are constantly being pitched are getting pitched using the same process. And there's literally no differentiation. Nobody's setting themselves apart, whether it's Sandler, it's Spin, it's Snap, it's Neat, it's Gap, it's Solution, it's Challenger, it's Consultative. Like there's all these names for all of these sales processes. And the challenge is, and here's what I want to tell you, is not that those are wrong. It's not that those are ineffective, right? I in no way would ever say those are ineffective. But what is ineffective is when somebody in sales is so rigid on their process that there's only one way they're going to do anything, right? They're going to use Challenger sale or Sandler or spin selling, and that's all they're going to do. No matter what the person responds with, they are stuck on this formula or process or what they were trained on, and they're not going outside of that. And the buyers know that. Buyers, all of us as consumers, we can detect these things and we don't like it, or it's not effective, or we know what we really want and it's not helpful. And so one of the biggest things that he said in the research is that the top salespeople use multiple sales processes right? And it's funny because I actually looked this up in prep for this session today, and I actually found an article on HubSpot that listed all of these sales processes and told people like what to use and why they were so great. The key is not just to use one, it's to use many. And that's really the fundamental reason why I built and wrote this book and Selling with Authentic Persuasion and this framework that I have, is that it is a framework. It's not a say this, do this. When they, you know, no matter what they say, you're going to go down this path. It's the fundamentals, right? It's the rapport, empathy, trust, hope, urgency. Within those, you're having a conversation with another human. That's what your job is, to be a human and move them forward. Now, you can apply any of those other sales processes with authentic persuasion being that umbrella. But what I found is that when you have a less strict approach, you end up taking many paths with prospective buyers based on what they're looking for and what they need, instead of you being very rigid. So this year, make sure to integrate that flexibility. That's why I started talking about the openness and curiosity and the creativity. And those three things, the persistence is great, the authenticity is great, but those first three are so important, such that you're well-rounded, right? There's not one way to solve a problem. There's not one way to have a conversation with your prospects. You got to have a system. You got to have a process. And like I said in the recap, you've got to be the leader that knows where the destination is. You know that your prospective buyer is here as a non-customer, and they have something holding them back. There's some reason they haven't signed up yet. They're not a customer. They haven't bought. And you know where they could be, which is over here, cross the finish line up the mountain. And so you've got to take them through a process of first determining if they're a good fit, and then second, determining how to get them there, right? Take them on that path, leading them that way. And I think that's really important. One of the biggest things, if I could implore everybody who's watching this, listening to this live or on the replay, is to always be working on your sales skills, learning new processes. I read sales books all the time to pick up things that might work, put those in the toolbox such that when that comes up in the conversation, you can have an appropriate response that's going to effectively move that person forward. And I think that's the big key, is to be able to do that and adapt to who you're talking to, yet also being in control, being in charge, being a leader, and then having an umbrella, something like authentic persuasion, where here's the overarching plan that you have with somebody. I'm going to take you through these steps. Now, what happens in each one of those steps? Well, we might go different directions. We got to be ready. I got to have these different skills. I want to have a lot of tools in the toolbox so that I can help somebody. So that's it for this session. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Thanks everyone for checking this out. One big thing that I am super excited about right now. I mean, I have my private group coaching program. Make sure to go check that out. But right now, time-wise, I am co-hosting with Jeff Kerchek, a 2022 authentic sales kickoff event. So it is Thursday, the 27th. So next Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure to register. It is free. We've got some great guests coming and doing some presentations on various topics. The goal is to help everybody in sales just kick off their year, whether your company has done a sales kickoff event or you're on your own and you're just looking for some inspiration, some ideas, some motivation, some new strategies, some new tactics, things to help with your mindset, things to help overall. It's going to be a great event. So it's 2 hours next Thursday, the 27th. You can go to jasoncutter.com and there is a link on there to register via Eventbrite. Like I said, it's free. So go to jasoncutter.com and scroll down and look for the sales kickoff link. It's going to be great because we're going to do about an hour, 15 hour and 20 minutes of presentations, conversations, and things like that with the panel, with everyone who's involved. And then the rest of it's going to be networking, question and answer, and just be a good time. If you are looking for people to associate with, other people in sales, people to learn from, maybe people to improve your network of like-minded people, people who are playing the same game that you are and just bounce ideas off of, then please join, because the networking portion, a lot of people enjoy even just that on its own. So that's why we wanted to make it part of it. So again, go to jasoncutter.com, scroll down, find the link for the sales kickoff, go to Eventbrite. It's free. That way, when you register there, you'll get the Zoom info. It's going to be Zoom meeting, cameras on, engaging. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. So thank you for joining today. Hopefully see you in the sales kickoff. I'll see you next Friday for this event, and I appreciate it. And everyone have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.